ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading texts 21 and 22, Canto 9, Chapter 5. 21 has no purport, so we'll chant 22. Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Sankirtya Rajanam Durvasa Paritoshita Yaya Vihayasa Mantriya Brahmalokam Ahaitukam Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Sankirtya Rajanam Durvasa Paritoshitaha. Yaya Vihayasa Mantriya Brahmalokam Ahaitukam. Evam Sankirtya Rajanam Durvasa Paritoshita Yayao Vihayasa Mantriya Brahmalokam Ahaitukam Evam Sankirtya Rajanam Durvasa Paritoshitaha Yayao Vihayasa Mantriya Brahmalokam Ahaitukam. Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Sankirti Rajanam Durvasa Paritoshitaha Yayao Vihayasa Mantriya Brahmalokam Ahaitukam. Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Sankirti Rajanam Durvasa Paritoshitaha Yau Vihayasa Mantriya Brahmalokam Ahaitukam. Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Sankirti Rajanam Durvasa Paritoshitaha Yayao Vihayasa Mantriya Brahmalokam Ahaitukam. Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Sankirti Rajanam Durvasa Paritoshitaha Yayao Vihayasa Mantriya Brahmalokam Ahaitukam. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Evam, thus, Sankirtya, glorifying, Rajanam, the king, Durvasa, the great mystic, yogi, Durvasa Muni, Paritoshitaha, being satisfied in all respects, Yayao left that place, Vihayasa, by the space ways, Amantriya, taking permission, Brahmalokam, to the topmost planet of this universe, Ahaitukam, where there is no dry philosophical speculation. So I'm going to read 21, then this 22. Text 21, translation. This is Durvasa Muni's last words here before he departs. All the blessed women in the heavenly planets will continuously chant about your spotless character at every moment, and the people of this world will also chant your glories continuously. Text 22, Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus, being satisfied in all respects, the great mystic yogi Durvasa took permission and left, continuously glorifying the king. Through the skyways he went to Brahmaloka, which is devoid of agnostics and dry philosophical speculators. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Although Durvasa Muni went back to Brahmaloka through the spaceways, he did not need an airplane, for great mystic yogis can transport themselves from any planet to any other without any machine. There's a planet named Siddhaloka whose inhabitants can go to any other planet because they naturally have all the perfection of yoga practice. Thus, Durvasa Muni, the great mystic yogi, could go through the skyways to any planet, even to Brahmaloka. In Brahmaloka, everyone is self-realized, and thus there is no need of philosophical speculation to come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. Durvasa Muni's purpose in going to Brahmaloka was apparently to speak to the residents of Brahmaloka about how powerful the devotee is and how a devotee can surpass every living entity within this material world. The so-called jnanis and yogis cannot compare to a devotee. Few points to highlight from this. The object of glorification of all the Vedas is ultimately it's Krishna, and to speak the glories of the great devotee of Krishna is as good as speaking the glories of Krishna. This is a lesson we learned from the first Krishna Katha or Hari Katha in the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, where the sages of Naimisharanya, they ask Sutta, please give us topics of Krishna. So he speaks about the Pandavas. And Prabhupada explains, he was asked to speak about Krishna. Why is he speaking about the Pandavas? And the answer is given. Prabhupada discusses this in the purport. The answer is that speaking about the Pandavas is speaking about Krishna because of the intimacy of the Pandavas to Krishna or with Krishna. Therefore, speaking of Maharaj Ambarish similarly is as good as speaking about the Supreme Lord because of his position of pure devotion. And therefore in text 21, specifically, Durvasa Muni is speaking of the blessed women in the heavenly planets. So, that is to say, people of this world, commonly, if they're religious, they look up to the heavenly planets and say, wow, let's go to the heavenly planets. Let's do what we can do here to get there. Those that are there are looking up to the pure devotees of the Lord, such as Maharaj Ambarish, as well as the Lord, and they are continuously glorifying such pure devotees as Maharaj Ambarish. And then he goes down, and the people of this world, as well as the denizens of the heavenly planets, continuously glorify. And then text 22 is Durvasa Muni also is continuously glorifying. Sankirtya Rajanam, the first line of the verse. So he's a great, there's people of this world, denizens of the heavenly planets, great, powerful, mystic. Durvasa Muni recognizing, I'm looking up to Maharaj Ambarish. He's a Brahmana, and it's kind of a formality, but it's also a reality. Brahmanas are honored by Krishna. So he's to be honored. Durvasa Muni honored him, as is appropriate. And Durvasa Muni, as is appropriate, is honoring Maharaj Ambarish. But it's even he's made an offense, he's to be honored. I mean, there's exception. When Ashvatthama acted heinously, in Krishna's own words, he's to be punished. And although he's a Brahmana, don't consider this as an offense to a Brahmana because he's Brahmabandhu, he's not qualified as a Brahmana. There's some, it's not gray area, it's just a definition of who is a Brahmana. Even still, culturally speaking, a person who is elderly and a person who is a Brahmana and so forth, there are personalities that are in general to be honored. I'll give a little example. In Mayapur, 1975, was their second year of the Mayapur Vrindavan Festival, and walking around the campus was Mayavadi sannyasi, dressed as a sannyasi with three lines of horizontal tilak, carrying his danda. And the devotees didn't know how to behave, what's appropriate. So Prabhupada was asked, he's a Mayavadi, yuck, but he's a sannyasi, so what should we do? So Prabhupada gave the instruction that you, when you see him from a distance, you pay your obeisances because he's a sannyasi, but don't associate with him. So respect can be given to an aunt, what to speak of Durvasa Muni, who's attempted murder of Maharaj Ambarish, but he's respecting. And Durvasa Muni is to be respected because of his status as a Brahmana and a mystic yogi. So he was satisfied in all respects, the verse is saying, and he's extolling the glories of a devotee. Such an exalted devotee is Maharaj Ambarish. So in this world, in the heavenly world, and all the way up to Brahmaloka, so Prabhupada is indicating he went all the way to Brahmaloka for that reason. Say, wow, you're in Brahmaloka, but above Brahmaloka is this wonderful devotee on earth planet, Maharaj Ambarish, because of his exalted devotion. Then another point here is the status of those in Brahmaloka. So, interestingly, Brahmalokam Ahaitukam. No, Ahaitukam means causeless. Ahaituki. Without cause, without material causation. So, Prabhupada has chosen to translate it as where there is no dry philosophical speculation. And in the verse, it's devoid of agnostics and dry philosophical speculators. Ahaitukam. Interesting. So, hetu means cause. and then there's effect of the cause. And in Brahmaloka, there's no cause for what's the absolute truth because they know. They don't need to speculate. So that's a qualification for a resident of Brahmaloka. To have knowledge of the absolute truth doesn't mean because they have knowledge of the absolute truth they're pure devotees, because pure devotees would go somewhere else. They would go to Vaikuntha. So if they go to Brahmaloka, at least conceptually or notionally or in principle, they know the absolute truth. There's no need to speculate. Thus, this interesting rendering of Ahaitukam, Brahmalokam Ahaitukam. And then he adds in agnostics. Well, we don't know. Or we'd like to know. So we're speculating. Neither category are there. Because they know. Now they know the absolute truth. And they may not know the full glories of the devotee of the absolute truth, the qualification of Maharaj Ambarish. And so Durvasa Muni is making a little trip to Brahmaloka. Then the last point is Siddhaloka, and Prabhupada just adds that in here. Siddha refers to mystic siddhis, and Siddha Loka is a place where people have mystic siddhis. And so the residents of Siddha Loka, one of their siddhis is same as Durvasa Muni. They can travel anywhere. They don't need a vehicle. They don't need a machine. They don't need anything. They just, by their mystic power, they can do these mystical things. A Sanskrit lesson, Prabhupada would from time to time give us little smidgens of Sanskrit lessons. So one of them is, there are these two terms, yantra and mantra. They sound alike. Yantra means machine and mantra means sound. So we're not accustomed to travel without a yantra, without a machine. You know, cars and bicycles and, you know, of course we can walk, but you can't go from one long, I mean, certainly from one planet to another planet. So we can, you know, go from one city to another city. Just join Bhakti Mark Swami, travels all over the place. You can travel across a continent. But you know, to cross the ocean, you need some yantra. You need a boat, or you need a plane, or you need carrier pigeons, or you need something to carry you from one place to the next place. So, from one planet to another planet, there's no need of a machine, no yantra. So, if you don't have a yantra, how do you do it? By mystic power. Doesn't use here the term mantra. Just like in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kardama Muni similarly had fantastic mystic powers, and he didn't require mantra. There's no indication. He just desired, and by his desire, by the thought, there's an energy, thought energy, an aerial mansion manifested, and that aerial mansion can travel similarly throughout the universe. The Pushpaka Vimana that Ravana had captured similarly could travel anywhere. And it came and it went just on desire. You know, mental thought. The Vimana came and it went. So these seems that Prabhupada is introducing this or making this comment about Siddhaloka. to kind of shake the foundation of those that have strong faith in mechanistic science or technology. You know, if you can do it, if you can't do it through technology, then you can't do it. But it's not so. It's not fanciful. It's not science fiction. It's not mythology. It's a higher science. It's a material science. The whole of mystic powers, this is from Nectar of Devotion, mystic powers are nothing but material accomplishments done by subtle means. Manipulating material laws by subtle means, and one can achieve something mystical. I was recently riding, believe it or not, I was in an airplane, and we were going from one city to the next city, and then there was a transit to the next, you know, to the second city. So the stewardess came along and said, "So, you're going to such and such place." And I said, "How did you know? Are you a mystic?" And she laughed, and she came out and she showed the manifest, you know, the printout of where each passenger's going after that flight. So that's the yantra method, and then there's the mystic method. The mystic is just a subtle material law being manipulated, or a material law being subtly manipulated. That's all. And a mystic is one who knows how to do that. So Dharvasa Muni knows how to do that. Siddhas in the Siddha Loka know how to do that. Kardama Muni knows how to do that. Narada. So where do they get that siddhi? They get the siddhi from the source of everything. Same where you get anything, from the source of everything. It's logic-defying if you're grounded in your present experience. And so that which lies beyond present experience is fanciful. It's mythology. It's, or worse, rubbish. Offense, a principle behind offense is that which is spiritual, to see it as material. To think of it as material, to speak of it as material, to act upon it as if it's material, whatever the object is. The name, the Bhagavatam, the Vedas, a devotee, the deity. That which is spiritual, offense is to consider it not spiritual, or conversely, to see it as material and to deal with it as something material. And it doesn't even have to be vilification. It can just be see it as material. So Prabhupada's wanting to elevate the Bhagavatam audience and the reader to understand there's beyond what we know and have experienced is another reality. In Brahmaloka they know the other reality. In Siddhaloka they have the capacity to manipulate laws that's beyond our capacity to manipulate laws. You don't need machines. We can use machines, but we're not, our life, our happiness, our well-being is not dependent upon machines. Of course, we're pretty much hooked up into the, when your computer has a problem and it doesn't work, like life stops. You gotta fix the machine because life has to go on. So we're in one sense hooked up to the machine. Not just using it, but dependent upon it. And it's debilitating. I mean, the memory goes because you don't have to remember anything anymore. You just look it up in your computer. That's your memory. So your memory is out there. It's in the machine. And anyway, therefore, mantra is good. And shloka is good. And hearing is good. There's advantages. We can hear the recordings of our founder Acharya because of machines, because of that technology. Imagine if we could. There was this thing that went around for a while. Supposedly, it was Photoshop, but it was supposedly Bhaktisiddhanta speaking, a movie of Bhaktisiddhanta speaking and some recording of Bhaktisiddhanta speaking. It was cheating. But imagine if you could hear Bhaktisiddhanta speaking or Bhaktivinoda speaking or Rupa Goswami speaking, Jiva Goswami speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in kirtan. Imagine if they had that technology. Shoo-wee. Now we have it. At least with our founder Acharya. And, you know, it's digitally preserved so that, you know, any time in the future, as long as they maintain the technology, people can access. It has its advantages, it has its disadvantages. Having the technology of the printing press makes Srimad Bhagavatam readily accessible. Different than if we didn't have the printing press. So there's utility in machines, and we just have to be careful not to make our lives dependent upon machines. Rather, the benefit of the machine, just like circling back to what Durvasa Muni is doing, he's going to Brahmaloka to inform the residents of Brahmaloka. Wow, pure devotees, like Maharaj Ambarish, they're the best. They're as good as Krishna, or as good as Lord Vishnu, the one unto whom Durvasa Muni is dedicated. Like he said before, in his previous message, what can be not achieved by one who has full devotion to the personality of Godhead? He can empower one to do anything. What's impossible to achieve, and what's impossible to be detached from. The glories of pure devotion. So it's a short class this morning. Any discussion?
When I was reading the story of Kardama Muni manifesting the Vimana, I got pretty bewildered.
You did?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You read it?
Yeah.
And you got bewildered?
Yeah, because I was confused how after so many years of austerity, then they... him and Devahuti, like, went for like thousands of years of enjoyment. Like, they traveled around the universe, but they're like pure devotees. So I didn't know how to comprehend that.
Like, I recently covered that section in speaking. So it's very fresh in my mind, so I can share it just in a summary way, but you can hear recording. He wasn't attached like we might be attached, or an ordinary person would become attached. Way over there, and then way over here. he was involved in that particular way, according to the text and the commentary, for a purpose. But that purpose need not be fulfilled that way. It could be fulfilled that way. So that way means, as an example, Gotama, who was one of the brothers of Kardama, his wife was Ahalya, and Ahalya, directly created by Lord Brahma, as was Gotama, they didn't do the Vimana program. And a son was produced who was the advisor to one of the 12 Mahajans, Janak. Shatananda or something like that was his name. So no Vimana program. So way over there. It wasn't necessary to have a good praja. Way over here was the good praja program. And he just manifested that way. Now, why would he do anything? There's only one reason why Kardamoni would do anything. Because he's a pure devotee. It's for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Due to the indication of the Supreme Lord. That's why he would do anything. Therefore, what was going on? Was he enamored with sense gratification? There's language that indicates he was and she was. And he wasn't. For example, like Arjuna. Is Arjuna a pure devotee or not? He's a pure devotee. So then how could Arjuna become consumed with anger enough to fight and kill thousands and millions of soldiers who were his cousins and so forth? It's not the anger that we know. Prabhupada said on a number of occasions, Krishna spoke in such a way to incite the anger of Arjuna. Yes? So wait a minute. He's a pure devotee. How can anger doesn't fit into the life of a pure devotee? So it's not the anger that we know. Similarly, so he was engaging the mode of passion. He wasn't engaged by the mode of passion. Similarly, Kardamuni had a purpose to fulfill. He was given an instruction by his father, Lord Brahma, produce praja. And so he did in a way different than Gotama did, but he did in a way that he did. How? Why? Because of the indication of the Supreme Lord. You know, he had a hotline to the Super Soul channel. And he did according to the indication of the Supreme Lord. He's a pure devotee. The Supreme Lord became his son and told him before it happened, I'm going to be your son. But you have to have a wife as qualified as you are, and she's going to come in a few days and just say yes and get married. So then for tens of thousands of years, a life of pure devotion together. And then this other thing? So, it's not like, you know, he and she go off into la-la land and become sense gratifiers. Now, why did he do that? Some indication of the Supreme Lord. Why did the Supreme Lord indicate to do like that? Doesn't say. Didn't have to do like that. He could have done like Gotama did or others. She was a princess. She was the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. She was used to opulence. She accepted, by her own volition, a totally different lifestyle for tens of thousands of years. So he produced the aerial mansion, and they went here and there, and, you know, long vacation, seeing different places and conversing with the great personalities in those different places. Now going to where we are here, higher than all of those other places is them. That's like Ambarish Maharaj is higher than this planet, the heavenly planets, Brahmaloka planet, Durvasa Muni, great mystics, Siddhaloka, better. So why do you even go and bother sightseeing and on vacation? Doesn't give the indication. The indication is to incite, to stimulate the desire, sexual desire specifically. But it's not the same, but it's similar to Krishna inciting Arjuna to fight. Because to fight, you have to have anger. It's explicitly expressed. Now, for Kardama Muni and Devahuti to produce children, must there be sexual desire? Or can they simply perform that activity because it's a service requested of them by their father? It's one of those, you've encountered, I'm sure, situations in the Bhagavatam where there's a stretch of verses that speak way over here and then a stretch of verses that speak way over there about the same thing. Yes? This is one of those. The desire was not the same kind of sexual desire as the worldly sexual desire, because they're in another plane of consciousness. But for the purpose of the service that was asked of them by Lord Brahma, and in turn to be prepared to have as they desired the Supreme Lord Vishnu as their son, it was done that way instead of that way. There's nothing going on in Arjuna's life but the desire of Krishna. There's nothing going on in Kardama Muni's life other than the desire of Lord Vishnu. Nothing else for his service. That's beyond our experience, beyond the stretch of our imagination. Get used to it. There's lots of things beyond the stretch of our imagination. Fundamentally, he's a 100% pure devotee. And therefore, when it speaks of things like enjoying sense gratification together, it's not this kind. It's something else.
Sharampal Swami, you'd mentioned that Durvasa Muni going to Brahmaloka with the intention of, and I guess it was in the purport too, of glorifying Ambarish Maharaj, that's equivalent to glorifying Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and also Durvasa Muni, there was mention that his intelligence had got awakened, I think you mentioned yesterday, because of the duress of the heat of the Sudarshan chakra. So Is there some indication that his own practices started changing or that bhakti had arisen in his heart?
I got about 70-75%, but some of the... Can you help me? Yes. Yes. Through his, yes. Now he's not a Shuddha Bhakta yet. But his bhakti has definitely bumped up a number of notches. That's because without bhakti, that was the situation before was, without bhakti you can't recognize the qualification of a bhakta. That was the Vaishnavera, Vina, Kriya, etc., etc. Unless one is a devotee, you can't recognize the qualification. Again, a yogi cannot, and he could not. So now he's recognizing his intelligence had become illumined, as you mentioned. That means bhakti. He's not a Shuddha Bhakta, but there's more bhakti as a result of this lovely experience. Yes?
Following that, the Brahma Lokam Ahaitukam, the translation, you explained Srila Prabhupada's, you know, he highlighting the purport, or no, the translation that he does of the word Ahaitukam, and you explain. Should we understand, I mean, you say they know the absolute truth in Brahma Loka, obviously not Sudha Bhaktas also, but I mean, you assume that they already know the things. They already know the glories of those who are Sudha Bhaktas. But Durvasa Muni, just to go there, to glorify.
Well, it's not like he has an ignorant audience and he's going to give knowledge to an ignorant audience. He's just going to glorify. No problem. No problem. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.